From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Community colleges are often an alternative to traditional universities for students. They can be an option for people not interested in four-year degrees, but in learning a trade and getting a credential. While there is a clear shift towards this vocational business model, three community college officials tell us that college transfer students, people who go on to pursue four-year degrees, are still more than half the student body. According to a recent David Brooks column in the New York Times, this is still a country in which nearly 20% of prime-age American men are not working full-time. It's still a country in which only 37% of adults expect children to be better off financially. This is still a country in which millions of new jobs are through alternative work arrangements like contracting or consulting, meaning no steady salary, no predictable hours, and no security. In North Carolina, community colleges are working with local employers to teach specialties. One example, Duke Energy wants qualified power line technicians who also happen to have a commercial driver license. There is a program for that. North Carolina legislators have allocated $22 million in recurring funds for community colleges because of concerns over low salaries and challenges these colleges face with recruitment and retention. With us today to explore the trends and the challenges of North Carolina's coastal community colleges are three leaders from the system. Jim Morton is the president of Cape Fear Community College. Jim Morton, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you, Rachel. Glad to be here.
Lois Smith is the Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs for Brunswick Community College. Welcome, Lois Smith.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And Perry Harker is Vice President of Corporate and Community Education at Carteret Community College. Welcome to the program, and thanks for making the trip, Perry Harker.
Thank you, Rachel. Glad to be here.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Have you attended a community college? Do you work in a field that required credentialing from a community college? Are you one of the people who went on to get a four-year degree? Do you work for a community college? You can reach us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. I want to start with that David Brooks column that I just cited in the introduction. He talks about, in that column, a new book from Orrin Cass called The Once and Future Worker, in which Cass details how those in the educated class have screwed up labor markets in ways that devalue work and make it harder for people in the working class to find a satisfying job. Is that what you're seeing at the community college level? Is this part of this trend towards a vocational curriculum, Perry Harker?
Yes, I think one of the advantages of community colleges is that we tend to focus on our local workforce, and particularly at Carteret, we try to stay in tune with the needs of our local workforce. And we are seeing a shift towards credentials and certifications for entry-level positions into what would be considered traditionally trades occupations.
And so when you think about the makeup of your student body, Jim Morton, and the fact that half or more than half of them are college transfer students, is that changing? Like when we talk about this shift towards a vocational curriculum, is that because the college transfer students are shrinking and trades are growing, or how is that working?
I would say probably in the last 10 years, it's been more of a focus on the college transfer and lifting those numbers. You're right. I think it's more of a trend heading back toward teaching the vocational trades. Everyone's coming to realize that not everyone's cut out for a four-year degree, which is perfectly fine. And that's what you see when a lot of folks do go to a four-year school and you have low completion rates and end up dropping out, but they still have that debt they're carrying with them, opposed to maybe going to a two-year community college or picking up a certificate or a credential and be out in a matter of, you mentioned that power line program that we started here at Cape Fear Community College this year.
And that was a direct result of conversations with Duke Energy.
Yes, it's sitting down with Duke Energy, and we call it a listening session, and we're connecting back with workforce and business and industry, and that was it was clear They told us that they're losing 1,400 linemen a year just in North Carolina.
What do you mean losing them?
Well,
to
through
what?
Through attrition, no retirements, things of that nature. And so what you, that's an amazing number, 1,400. And so we put together the program. But just through our listening session, we said, well, what do you need? And that, for us, and that's what we've been focused on, is listening to industry and what you need. And that's when they did go through describing, you know, we need the training for the alignment program. But they also said, well, a lot of times when these students get out, they don't know how to drive. They don't have a CDL license. And so, well, we can develop that and blend the course. We already have truck driving. And so that's what we did. And they've been delighted with that. And so much, in fact, they gave us a $200,000 grant to help us get off the ground with the program. And the first program, we had 10 students just to kind of work the bugs out. The current program now, we already have 45 students, and we already have a waiting list of 28 to start in January. And what was unique about the first program, and we'll continue to do this, is that when they finished the program, they had the little graduation ceremony, walked across the hall, and we had Duke Energy, Pike Electric, MasTec, those employers waiting there to interview them or set up interviews. So we want to have these students finish with the certificate, but also be employed.
Lois Smith of Brunswick Community College, these three institutions represented at the table try to keep specialties a little bit different, mm-hmm. partly so there's not competition. But what
True.
Kinds of conversations are you having with industry leaders in Brunswick County?
Well, in Brunswick County, we have, of course, our total economic picture leans toward tourist season and the hospitality industry in Brunswick County. But we do have a number of manufacturers and industries, especially up in our Leland area. And we've been having monthly visits with all of our industry partners. We offer customized training packages to those industry partners, do very much the same types of things as Mr. Morton was mentioning in terms of responding to their needs. One of the needs that has arisen in our county was the need to be able to nurture and help new small businesses grow. So we've actually also put in place a small business incubator. It has three bays that are full at present with tenants working on growing their business operation. They will be with us for a period of 3 years, and then they graduate, as we say, from the incubator. And then at that point, they've seen an increase in their sales or an increase in their number of employees, and they're ready to go out and get their own new storefront set up for their business.
What are some of the types of businesses that are in that incubator?
That incubator right now houses an entrepreneur that's a candle-making company called Celebration Candles. That female business owner is one of our oldest clients. They will be ready to vacate and go out and open another location in the spring of 19. And the other ones are occupied by Luke Custom Furniture, who creates custom furniture by order. And another bay is occupied by Heirloom Custom Door and Cabinetry Maker. And that gentleman, his niche is doing that type of service with exotic wood.
So all artisans in
yes.
one way or another,
yes.
which is an interesting focus. Mm-hmm. We hear right. so often about, you know, tech yeah. incubators in the Cape Fear region, but
yes.
that's interesting.
Well, in our Southport location also runs classes that are very much directed toward the arts.
Perry Harker, your region was hit particularly hard by Hurricane Florence. And I, first of all, tell us how people are doing in Carteret County and how the campus is coming along.
Well, the campus, we did not sustain substantial damage. We were very fortunate. Our community did. But as we proudly say, we're Carteret strong and we are resilient. Still a lot of displaced families, a lot of vacancies in terms of housing closed and that sort of thing. But
people who've just been forced out.
But I think we're surviving, and people are working hard. It has just been a tremendous amount of response from the community, several organizations that give back, raising money, raising supplies and that sort of thing to help those that are been affected by the storm.
I was very surprised to hear you tell our producer that you're already seeing an impact from the need created by Hurricane Florence on your programming, in talking about the need for construction workers.
We have, and
you saw that from Hurricane Florence?
Well, I won't say we saw it specifically from Hurricane Florence, but we know that the rebuilding is going to be several years in the making. And the workforce that will provide those services has been real clear that they need more employees, more trained employees. So we have increased our opportunities to offer that type of training for our local community.
How quickly can, and it probably varies from program to program, but that's pretty nimble, it sounds like. How quickly can you respond as a community college when you find out there's a need in the community, Jim Morton?
I can give an example. Back in the spring, we heard the same concern. As you know, the growth here in Wilmington and the region is so fast right now.
And you know what? That's going to be a big answer. So I will let you finish that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with the leaders of three coastal community colleges in North Carolina, representing Brunswick, Carteret, and Cape Fear Community Colleges. When we come back from the break, we'll have some of your questions. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, it's an exploration of the changing landscape of the community college system with three local community college leaders, Brunswick Community College's Lois Smith, Carteret Community College's Perry Harker, and Cape Fear Community College's Jim Morton. If you'd like to ask your own question on this Wednesday, you can do that by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And Jim Morton of Cape Fear Community College, just before we went to break, you were about to explain how nimble the community college system is and how quickly, once the system learns of a need, you can actually create a program to fill it. How have you done that in the construction industry?
Well, with construction, again, it was the need from the industry. And originally, when we went in to talk to the different contractors, we thought they needed more elaborate training. But for that, all they needed was some basic OSHA training, basic skills, just to get folks started into the industry. And so, to answer your question, the beauty of a community college is they're very nimble. So from the listening session, within a matter of a month or a couple months, we were able to put a program together. And you can tailor it, you know, depending on how many weeks you want. This program, it was actually 80 hours. And we had 50 students, and we had 20 employers waiting to hire them after they finished. But it can range anywhere from a week course, 16 weeks, 10 weeks. It can be very, very, it varies depending on the need and the demand.
Lois Smith, you talked about also speaking with industry leaders in the community and creating training programs that would serve those folks. Like Duke Energy, do you get grants from those companies? Do they help to pay for those programs?
We do. We started 3 years ago in response to some information coming to us from some local manufacturers. We started and put together efforts to put a machining program in place. And we definitely did reach out. We obtained some funding from Duke Energy Foundation, actually, to help equip that space with the machining equipment that we needed. And so now we still run that machining program under our continuing education workforce development side.
We know that since around 2010, there has been falling enrollment among community colleges. That's been a challenge, I think, across the country, it's fair to say. And in talking with our producer, a couple of you pointed out that as the economy improves, your numbers actually are hurt more, which seems at first counterintuitive. Perry Harker, can you explain that dynamic?
Well, you know, as the economy improves, unemployment is low. A lot of our citizens choose to work and do not attend in school. Obviously, when that is reversed, we have high unemployment. A lot of our citizens decide to return to school, either upgrade their skills or learn new skills so that they can obtain a job.
As the fastest growing county in the state, Brunswick County, mm-hmm. how does that growing population impact the way BCC is programming? Because that's a little different from the industries that are there mm-hmm. or even the incubator that you've talked about.
Well, in Brunswick County, we do have a growing population. We are, according to our state demographers from UNC, we're to be the leading growth county in the state in a few years. But the proof is in the fine print, I think, when you look at how that population will grow and you look at that demographic, we are adding retirees. And retirees are not so much in the market for a first career, but they are in the market for perhaps an encore career, as we like to think of it. So particularly what I referred to before about our Southport location, using the Heritage Arts Program for their courses, we see a lot of jewelry makers, a lot of woodworkers, a lot of potters wanting to come back and take classes and perfect their techniques so that they can create a market for their art products.
So part of it then is people who have the time and the means to explore parts of themselves that perhaps they couldn't during their traditional careers. But what role, Jim Morton, CFCC has the Wilson Center, which mm-hmm. is this grand theatrical performance venue. There's classroom space. There are a couple of different performance spaces in there. It was a huge undertaking, and it now arguably attracts productions that before wouldn't have come to Wilmington because there wasn't a venue to hold them. What role do the arts play in the educational curriculum? I mean, are there people going to CFCC who are getting degrees
yes.
in music or
very
dance?
Much so. As far as economic development, arts play a big role in those jobs and careers into the future. You know, the beauty of Cape Fear, just last week, we had the King and I production. It was just off of Broadway. We had students, actually 33 students, that actually were able to work on that set. And what was unique about the King and I was the first time that they called it a teching event. And so they were actually here for 2 weeks. And over the first 2 weeks, this shows the first time they've been on the road. So they have to adapt to being on a road where they figure out how to pack the trucks. They start off with 7 tractor trailers and they condensed it down to 4. And they built sets. And so the students were involved in that the entire time. And they'll never get that kind of experience. As far as an economic impact, that show, we have the numbers, was probably over $500,000 impact into the Wilmington area from the hotels and the rental cars and the ticket sales. And so it was huge, and it does truly attract residents from all across North Carolina, and we've actually had someone from all 50 states attend shows.
So you're saying that the hotels and rental cars here in Wilmington were because people are traveling from other places to see this show?
Right. This particular teching show was because so many of their folks working on the set needed rental cars and hotels. But yes, all the shows have an impact on our hotels and our restaurants. any night that you have a one of the larger shows, a Broadway show, it'll be hard for you to find somewhere to eat in downtown Wilmington. And the hotels are so involved that they're doing package deals of tickets and things of that nature. So the arts have a big impact.
Now, I know that we're going to have listeners who are saying, I really hope people aren't going to CFCC to get a degree in music or dance or something like that. CFCC is a place for practical learning a trade or getting credit so that you can move on to a four-year institution.
Let me ask you.
What's the answer to that?
Well, just the teching show I just mentioned. So there was they have an orchestra, part of that show. What was interesting to me is that these individuals had never played together. But they sat down in 2 5-hour sessions because they're professionals, and from those 5-hour sessions were able to play the show. Well, those are professionals. They're getting paid. They're traveling and working in a profession, making a good living.
Perry Harker, you say the coastal economy is really a driver for the curricula that's developed at Carteret Community College. You mentioned, I think, boat manufacturing, boat repair.
Yes.
And you mentioned aquaculture at Carteret Community College. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, we have a traditional industry of commercial fishing. Really, the Beaufort Downeast area, many, many of those families have made their living that way for many, many years. And with regulations and other factors, there's a big change in how you can do that. So we started about 10 years ago an aquaculture program, and that is where we're teaching students and business owners how to farm shellfish and make a living doing that way.
There's also an aquaculture program at Brunswick Community College, Lois Smith, but you are not in competition?
We're not. We are the only two community colleges in the state with an aquaculture program, but we have been in communication through the years and have developed our own niche different from the other sister institution. For instance, we don't cultivate any of the shellfish species. We leave that work to Carteret. So a student who is interested in pursuing that bend will choose to enroll at Carteret. We stick primarily with just fish species, catfish, other types of saltwater fish species, and we have also recently started going into the hydroponics area of instruction, too, which utilizes the fish fertilizer to grow plants. So we have a body of students that are interested in that as well.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a roundtable with three community college leaders. With us today, Perry Harker, Vice President for Corporate and Community Education at Carteret Community College, Jim Morton, President of Cape Fear Community College, and Lois Smith, Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs for Brunswick Community College. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. We did get an anonymous email from someone who works at CFCC, and this person alleges that there's a focus on growing the vocational side of the college while trying to destroy the transfer side. What they don't understand, this person writes, is that transfer programs are essential to non-traditional and low-income students who have few options. What would your answer to that person be?
There's no way we're trying to destroy the college transfer as a major, as you mentioned earlier, over half our students, major focus for us. And in fact, we've already had meetings with UNCW. We've got a meeting tomorrow, actually, with UNCW to try to create more pathways for our college transfer students to transfer over to a four-year institution.
So that's actually something you're trying to grow.
Oh, very much so. Of course, yes. We're not neglecting college transfer. We're just focusing on college transfer and vocational technical training or career and technical training, and we're approaching all of it.
And this person also talks about extremely low morale among members of the teaching staff, which would not be a surprise considering that over the last several years there has been quite a bit of turnover in the leadership at Cape Fear Community College, and you're a relatively new president. What would you say about morale there and what you're going to do to kind of bring that up and bring stability to the college?
Well, a lot of times you hear pay is a big concern for low morale. Unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, the community college system, the enrollment has been declining since 2010-11. Actually, we were down 18%, probably like 20% this past spring.
And again, because the economy is improving.
Correct. And they were internal things, but we've been addressing and dealing with that. So we have got, that's why we were, in turning your enrollment, you focus on the continuing education and workforce training development, because those courses that we talked about earlier that you can put together quickly in order to try to turn your enrollment around. So we're focused on that. We're focused on college transfer. But the desire is obviously to lift our enrollment back up to where it was, and so we can deal with budget issues. And that's a focus. And legislatures are aware of that, too, and been working with them. And actually had a Phil Berger, senator's, was down. His staff was down yesterday, and we covered some of these issues with them, because we want them to realize we need help with the, salaries in community colleges. I would say, this is about economic development. A lot of folks don't realize, in the university system, 16 strong in North Carolina, they touch about 225,000 students, which is a tremendous institution in universities. Most people don't realize, though, that the community colleges touch about 730,000 students. So we are the economic developers. We are the economic drivers of workforce development.
And that concern that you mentioned about low salaries is something that I think has plagued community colleges across the state, hence the $22 million in recurring funding that the legislature has set aside to help there, to help with salaries and hopefully recruitment and retention. But Perry Harker, what are some of the challenges that community colleges tend to have when it comes to creating stability as part of the institution? I mean, does it really just boil down to funding?
Well, obviously, funding is a major part of it. And I think the work that Jim just mentioned, working with our legislators and making sure that they understand what our needs are, how our institutions are organized, and some of the things that we're doing in the community are very, very important that they understand that and can help fund that. But funding is a major, I think, component of that. I know at Carteret, we are out of 58 community colleges, we're in the bottom part of the salary piece, and that certainly is a drives morale lower. But we know it, and we're working on it and trying to address it.
Lois Smith, we understand that some of these challenges are very similar to the public school systems, and there are local supplements often for teacher salaries, as we know there are in New Hanover County. Mm-hmm. Does Brunswick County have local supplements? How does that work?
Brunswick County is very good to Brunswick Community College. Our county commissioners and our county manager routinely asks what they can do to support the college, and that does show in the budget allocations that we receive from the county. Counties traditionally help support community colleges in facilities and maintenance areas primarily, and that's established by virtue of state code. In addition, Brunswick County was very fortunate last year to be funded by our county for what we call the Brunswick Guarantee, which is actually a way to provide scholarships to seniors who graduate from a Brunswick County high school and want to then come to BCC to be basically tuition and fee waived for their 2 years at the college. And that money also is used for book expense for students. So the county is very supportive of the community college in Brunswick.
I see you nodding, Perry Harker. Is that something that you have in Carteret County?
Our county is very supportive. Now, we do not receive a supplement, but they are very supportive of the community college. As was mentioned earlier, they are mandated to help with facilities and that sort of thing, but they are very, very supportive.
And does this mean that other counties might consider something like the Brunswick Guarantee, where if a student graduates from high school in that county, they can then go on to get a two-year credential of some sort, Jim Morton?
Yes, by all means.
Does that exist? They're talking about it now in New Hanover County. It doesn't exist yet?
No.
Where is it in the works?
I know we have a couple of schools already.
Yeah. There are probably about, this may be a bit of a guess, but I think maybe about six colleges that have a tuition program. I believe that ours is the only one, though, that is utilizing county funds. Mm-hmm. I know Richmond Community College has an arrangement with their bookstore provider that mm-hmm. helps supply some of their money for theirs. So it's different arrangements in different areas of the state that currently have the tuition.
Is there any discussion about the state providing such a guarantee? Or, I mean, where?
I think that would be such a huge budget impact to the state to be able to do that.
Yeah, I haven't heard of a conversation.
Is there a sort of rough breakdown of state funding versus county, Jim Morton?
There is. In New Hanover, by the way, and Pender are very, very supportive of Cape Fear with facilities and maintenance, as they mentioned. I would say with us, we're probably 10% of overall budget is county funded, and then probably 50% state.
You're listening to Coastline. It's a look at the coastal community college system in North Carolina and how local campuses are adapting to an evolving economy. Three local community college leaders are with us today and answering your questions on this Wednesday. You can get your question in by calling 910-343-1138 or by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. When we come back from this break, one more segment, we'll hear from a listener. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The role of community colleges has evolved since they were first developed as junior colleges in the 19th century, a place to train school teachers. Today, we're looking at the current state of community colleges in North Carolina with Lois Smith of Brunswick Community College, Perry Harker of Carteret Community College, and Jim Morton of Cape Fear Community College. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. William, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks. You're a student at CFCC?
Yes, I'm currently a student in the second class for the lineman boot camp here.
And what is that
and
like?
It's an amazing experience. I don't have any questions. I just wanted to commend Cape Fear Community College for partnering with Duke Energy as far as becoming this an opportunity for anybody who is interested in doing line work, becoming an employee for any power company in the area or anywhere farther than that. It's a great hands-on experience. They're giving us lots of input as far as what it takes to become an electrical lineman, doing their part. That way, when we go out there into the field, we are pretty much already ready and trained to be picked up by any power company that is willing to offer us a job. And we can use our experience and our training and technique to put back with the community, with the with any company that may offer us a position.
Thank you so much, William. Appreciate your call. You're listening to Coastline. It's a roundtable with three community college leaders. With us today, Perry Harker, Vice President for Corporate and Community Education at Carteret Community College, Jim Morton, President of Cape Fear Community College, and Lois Smith, Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs for Brunswick Community College. Just a few minutes left for you to get your own question in on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or emailing us today at coastline@whqr.org. We had a call, a current ambassador to the college, anonymous from Brunswick County. Does Mr. Morton think that there is more of an emphasis on having juniors and seniors from high school attend CFCC and then finish a two-year AA degree? Is this because of college debt? I'm not.
I'm trying to understand the question.
I don't really understand it myself.
But I will say, you know, nationally you hear of student debt being a major issue for folks.
Right.
Well, I can tell you that the community college system is the answer to that student debt. With students getting out of a four-year degree, the average, I think, debt is around $40,000. You know, if you do a college transfer program through a community college, your debt would be significantly lower and help you as you get out of the four-year degree and beginning your new life.
How does recruiting figure into the business model for community colleges in terms of students?
Recruiting students?
Yes.
It's very important, very crucial, and something we've been working on this year. As an answer to an earlier question, trying to increase enrollment, we're very fortunate with the partnership with the state about a career coach grant that they put out, and it allowed us to hire three career coaches to actually put into the high schools to help us with that. We have a director of recruiting, but we're looking at going further than just high school, but into elementary school. We think we wait too late to start talking to students about trade programs. I think that conversation needs to begin earlier in the middle school, and begin those thought processes, and then they speak with their parents and going forward, because a lot of these degrees and certificates are high wage earning careers.
And this is something that we've heard a lot just in terms of traditional public school systems also, talking about vocational options for students before they get to college age or graduating from high school. So we've definitely seen an openness to that. But is there ever a danger, just playing devil's advocate here, with people counseling a student, Perry Harker, into going down a vocational road, learning a trade, when that student really has potential that maybe he or she isn't in touch with yet, or isn't mature enough to recognize?
At our college, and it's probably the same at both Cape Fear and Brunswick, the intent is to expose students to career options. So we're not, and I don't believe our high school counselors that we work closely with are trying to push someone into a particular field, but more explore, obviously, a lot of career opportunities. We had 400 middle school students on campus 2 weeks ago to look at boat building and aquaculture, and these were just an opportunity for them to see both of those programs in operation. That afternoon, we took them out to some actual industries that they could potentially work at. So it's really, I see it more of exposure to an array of industries, and then, the counseling at the high schools to help students move in the right direction. But we work very close with our counselors in our high schools, and I don't see a push, down a particular field.
Lois Smith, can you comment on that for Brunswick County?
I agree absolutely with what Perry is saying. It's really about being sure that students, and especially if we're talking about a younger population of student and their parents, know what those options look like. I think we see far more through the last few years of a push toward that four-year bachelor's degree right out of the chute, and many of those students don't even know that a machinist nowadays is working in a very different environment than perhaps what their parents or their grandparents went through when they worked in a trade. And, you know, the ability to earn a living as a welder with a two-year degree or even a shorter training of a certificate program, it's amazing the living that those individuals can command. So I agree very much. It's about that exposure and that education of what all those options are.
When we look at some of the programs that are developed specifically for an industry, Vertex, for instance, was one company that came to Wilmington with great fanfare, and CFCC had developed a program or was going to, Jim Morton. Would you put that in context for us? And is that something that has dropped off the map or readjusted?
Vertex has, for sure. But no.
Vertex, the company has, yeah. And does that also mean that the kinds of skills that CFCC
was? No. And that's, the beauty of community college is, you know, companies are not going to expand, relocate, or even start without an educated, well-trained workforce. And that's what we do. We work closely with the economic development groups here in Wilmington. It's Wilmington Business Development, of course. And so those conversations, we're usually on the front end of those conversations, because when a company's coming in to expand, they want to know, well, this is a wonderful, great area, and all the attributes that you have are wonderful, but do we have a work trained force, or can you put together a curriculum to help train our workforce? So we're very in tune with those needs. So much so that 3 weeks ago we actually got an award from Wilmington Business Development of Ally of the Year Award. So, but we were pretty proud of that because we're on the front end of that. We're all about creating a trained workforce and providing what those industries need.
So then when it comes to something like Vertex, would CFCC have lost any money in developing a program for that? And then, you know, and well, certainly that's the risk of doing
that's
business.
That's right. But in any business, there's risk. But when you have a company like that come to town, obviously you want to work with them and provide the training and hope for the best. But yes, there are risks.
Sure. CFCC cut its police department recently, mm-hmm. and whenever there are reorganizations or cuts, mm-hmm. there's always going to be criticism of those decisions.
Sure.
Can you explain what the logic was behind that?
Sure. We were experiencing, I think it was a year and a half, 2 years, over 105% attrition, turnover. So it's very difficult for a small department to be able to train and retain officers as they come out of BLAT, and they want to progress into a higher level of any organizations as you want to penetrate and grow with your career. So it's hard to retain. That was a huge issue for us. So we were spending most of our time hiring people, and then they're leaving. And when you start looking at that, you know, in the environment that you hear nationally that's going on, you want to do all that you can to provide safety. So we decided to partner with the Sheriff's Department, which has, you know, they have a much larger department. They have all the additional resources. It was interesting as a prime example. You probably heard on the news that we had a bomb threat a couple weeks ago. Well, the Sheriff's Department was in. We were doing clearing the buildings, but at the same time, the Detective Division was working on that arrest. And in a matter of 3 hours, we had an individual arrested. We couldn't have done that before.
And when you put it in that context, mm-hmm. it does make a lot of sense that you would have a department that's also funded by the county working with a county entity mm-hmm. on that. Is that unusual to have police departments part of community college systems sort of on their own? Perry Harker or Lois Smith, do you have police departments on your campuses?
Well, I'll jump in because we did a similar decision to what Cape Fear Community College did as well. It is not uncommon for community colleges to man their own campus safety or campus police department. But I think that Mr. Morton made a great point in that in this day and time, I think every college that has an opportunity to take a look at whether or not that is still working for them, that just makes smart sense. We did the same. We recently went through a period where, because of our chief retiring, we had an opportunity to take a look at it. And as it turns out, our campus community was the only entity left in Brunswick County that was not having direct care coming from the sheriff's office. So it just made sense for us in terms of safety for our campus community and our students to take a look at which way we would be better served.
Perry Harker, is there a police department at Carteret Community College?
There is not a police department, but we have a very close relationship, working relationship with the sheriff's department and Moorhead. We are located in Moorhead City. Moorhead City PD is right next door to us. And we have a very close relationship with them.
Fair enough. Scott from Sunset Beach called in and said, my son is about to attend community college and will most likely transfer to a four-year degree. How do I ensure these will transfer over to a four-year college? Good question. Jim Morton, what would you say?
That's where it's critical for our advisors to meet with those students and advise them and to establish that path of subjects and classes to sign up for. So it's all with the advising, and I think all three of our schools, that helps us with retention so much of having our advisors involved, and we've enhanced our advising center to do that, to help students so they don't get off on the wrong track.
And so, Lois Smith.
Yeah, and I would add that, you know, any student that goes into our college transfer level programs is offered the protection of the Comprehensive Articulation Agreement. We have a community college and a university system agreement in place that pretty much guarantees that those courses will transfer to any of our UNC system universities without a problem.
So if that student then is going in with that goal in mind, there shouldn't be an issue, Jim Morton.
There's a pathway established for that.
Right.
Now, there's some standards for grades and GPA, things like that, of course, you know, to move to the university, but that pathway is established.
Eric from Wilmington says, I went to trade school for massage therapy. It was a six-month program, and I got a job shortly thereafter. Luckily, when I got out, I had a small amount of debt, then developed health problems. I was glad I didn't have a significant amount of debt. I also agree with the panel that we need to talk to middle and high school students about other possibilities than a four-year degree. Thank you for that, Eric. And we have a call. Al from Wilmington, student at CFCC, took a computer tech class there, final grade based on a computer test that I got kicked out of, couldn't get back in and failed the test. What should I have done in that situation? And I'm sure that's specific enough that, Jim Morton, do you have a comment for Al?
Well, I would have worked with the instructor and advising as any normal student who have difficulty in a class.
Sure. Heather from Wilmington says, I'm a working adult. Does CFCC have programs that cater to working people? Jim Morton.
Yes, and we try to offer programming at off times in the evenings and try to work around various schedules.
Online courses.
Online is very critical.
Exactly. How much of your curricula do online courses take?
The percentage, I'm not sure right now, but it's growing every year.
Yeah, it's growing
significantly.
Does anybody have a ballpark?
We offer about four of our programs totally online, the ability to go all the way from start to finish and get the associate's degree totally online. But many of our other programs utilize online courses interspersed with classroom or hands-on labs and that type of thing.
Recent article from Inside Higher Ed points out that an overwhelming majority of community colleges saw increased enrollments of Pell Grant recipients last summer. Is that something that you've been seeing locally, Jim Morton?
Well, last year was the first time Pell was eligible for summer enrollment, so that's why you had the increase. It's the first time it was eligible.
Okay, and did that?
But it did have an impact for us for summer enrollment.
Yes, it did for us as
well. Us too.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Lois Smith, Perry Harker, Jim Morton, thank you all so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
Coastline's technical director is Ken Campbell. Producer is Rachel Keith. Production manager is Caitlin Hanrahan. Caitlin Freund is our webmaster. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. Duke Energy, Brunswick Community College, and Cape Fear Community College are all underwriters of WHQR. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.